last time I was here 2 weeks ago, if you were also here, you will recall that I spoke on my personal relationship with anti-racism issues as a Unitarian Universalist minister over these 40 years since I've been one. And it was kind of fiery, edgy, somebody called it. You know, I really got into it. And it was very well received. It was about big stuff. It was about big, important stuff. And Unitarian Universalists, this place is to deal with big, important stuff and try to figure out how we can be better at it, both individually and congregationally. I'm not going to talk about any of this today. If you think of that big, important stuff, those big themes of justice and equality, as the souffle or the trout almondine, today I'm going to talk about good pots and pans. And if you're any kind of cook, you know you're not going to be able to make great food without good pots and pans, without good containers. If I wanted to torture another metaphor, I would say that the flaming chalice of Unitarian Universalists, the symbol, that the themes of freedom and equality are the flame. And today I'm going to talk about the chalice, what enables the flame to burn. This sermon is really the culmination of a series of sermons we embarked on about a year ago. We took each of the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism, and I spoke, and we had lay-led services exemplifying and explaining each of those seven principles. I personally got a lot out of it because, you know, I'd never done that before. I'd never examined them that closely. And I got a greater appreciation for what they are and how they hold us together. Now, mission, the mission statement, is naturally the culmination of that process because the mission statement is how we put those principles into action. That's what the mission is supposed to be. So, in thinking about that several weeks ago, I went on our website and looked for our mission statement. And I couldn't find it anywhere. Until I finally called our webmaster, Ruth Benson, and said, "Is the mission statement on our website?" And she said, "Yes, it's right in the middle of the homepage." And it is. And I couldn't find it. And so that's another metaphor about how I deal with mission statements. There it was, hiding in plain sight. But I'll tell you, one of the reasons I did this in my own defense is, since I knew our mission statement, I went to several other Unitarian Universalist churches' websites and looked for their mission statement. And we're the only one that has it right front and center. At least the dozens that I looked at, most of them have it hidden someplace or it's really off to the side. So I went, "Oh, there it is." Okay. So there it is. And it's in our order of service every Sunday. So we can ask very simply, do we like our mission statement? Is it working for us? Are we working for it? Would we like to change it, energize it, or ignore it? It's simply to open our hearts and home in order to enrich our community, to extend ourselves to help make the world a better place, to support and nurture people as they search for their own truth, to share the responsibility for sustaining our cherished home. So, there it is. So we need a mission statement because that shows us how we put our principles into action. There's another more mundane reason, and that is that we need mission statements because church consultants say that we need mission statements. In the 70s and before, Unitarian Universalist congregations worked for better or worse without mission statements. They actually became the rage amongst church consultants in the 80s out of what corporate consultants were recommending to the corporations. Now, there's a rule of thumb is that whatever corporate organizational consultants are doing will be done by church consultants about 5 years later. And what that does is that by the time a church consultant comes and tells you what you want to do, you're sick to death of it because you heard it 5 years ago from your job. So it's a little bit of a tough sell for a church consultant. Also, doing a mission statement is a way of seeming to do something. For churches that need help, doing a mission statement, I think, can be a tremendous placebo. And as you might remember, Steve Martin back in the 70s, being really high on those placebos, you know. Sometimes they can work, and so sometimes mission statements really are important. Though, I don't think I've ever known a congregation that is really successful who says, the secret of our success is our great mission statement. Now, it can help. Now, here's why and when it can help. Most Unitarian Universalists used to know what churches do because they grew up in churches or synagogues. And Unitarian Universalist churches did what most churches do, just from a different theological perspective and angle. But over the years, that's become less and less true. More and more Unitarian Universalists come to us with no background in having been in a religious organization in their earlier life or having grown up in one. More people who are unchurched or unaffiliated coming to us, so they don't really know what churches do. And also, Unitarian Universalist congregations over the years have taken greater and more varied forms of how they do the work of the congregation. So even if you grew up in a church or synagogue, if you go to a particular Unitarian Universalist congregation, they may have a form, they may have a mission that is quite different. It doesn't look at all like what you might have been used to. Also, a mission statement is a good management tool. Daniel Hotchkiss used to be the head of what's called transitions at the Unitarian Universalist Association, the person who is the head of the clearinghouse that puts ministers together with congregations. And now he's a church consultant. But he said, a church board doesn't serve its members. A church board serves its mission. Interesting. Now, what he means by that is that members of a congregation at any given time will almost always want their current needs to be met. And some of these needs may be in line with Unitarian Universalist principles, and others may not. And even those that are, well, it might not be the best direction for the particular congregation with limited resources and so on. So the board can and should look to its mission statement in allocating its resources and its direction. Now, in the 3 years I've been here, I think our board kind of does that. It doesn't do too bad a job at that without ever, I think, once sitting down and saying, well, we're here to serve our mission and not the members. But we do have a bit of a foresight in the decisions we make and think about these things, even though we might not have been really aware that we're doing it. So this mission stuff, like the examination of our principles, is a way to bring to a conscious level what we are doing or not doing, making it conscious. In other words, getting out of that reptilian or reactive brain into the conscious forebrain sort of stuff. Serving mission rather than members reminds me of a quote from Saint Exupery. Is that how you pronounce the guy who wrote The Little Prince? Yeah. He said, love does not consist in gazing at each other, but looking outward together in the same direction. Now think of the Black Lives Matter discussion we're likely to have after this worship service. Now, we can gaze at each other in that discussion or any discussion we have, And we should do that to some extent. But really what we need to be about is looking outward together in the same direction. And we might even think, would putting any sort of banner anywhere serve our mission? Would this be a good way of extending our mission to do such an act? That might be one way of judging what we should do. As I said, the readings today are from Healthy Congregations. Good book. It compares congregations with living organisms. What makes them sick? What makes them healthy? Now, not being healthy is not a stigma for individuals or congregations. Every organization struggles with its health. Every organization has to struggle with changing. The idea is to change toward health or to maintain health. Now, in terms of congregational health, I would say a mission statement is like flossing. You know, it's not very exciting, but it's helpful, and you ignore it at your peril. What does keep us healthy is keeping rational and relational in times of reaction and the rise of that reptilian brain, whether it's the rise of that brain in society or within a congregation. That fight-flight syndrome is a natural response to stress. It's a survival mechanism. We need to do it. We've needed it for thousands and millions of years. We needed to recognize it as a sign of health or toxicity. Now, there are two axioms about healthy congregations regarding their mission. And you'll hear this even from ordinary ministers like myself that aren't consultants. And that is, a traumatized congregation can't do mission. And the second is, a healthy congregation focuses on mission, a troubled congregation focuses on the minister. Now, a traumatized congregation can't do mission. I'm not saying this congregation has been traumatized, because I don't want to get hung up in diagnosis. But there was a minister here for over 20 years who left with great difficulty for himself and all concerned. That was followed by 2 years of two interim ministers who provided relief, but in my opinion, insufficient healing. The next minister stayed for 5 years, and it didn't work out as well as anyone, including the minister, had hoped. And now I've been here for almost 3 years. Now I know I can make you laugh sometimes. And sometimes I can make you cry or even make myself cry. But I can't make you change. I can't make you grow. I can't make you healthy. I can't balance your budget. You have to do that. Now maybe I can shine a light down the path, but you guys have to walk down it. But that's why I think our mission, a perfectly good mission statement, doesn't have much resonance with us, because it was created when the congregation was not looking outward together in the same direction. Likewise, the focus on minister rather than mission. Now, this is difficult, I know, and sometimes the minister makes it difficult. Did you know that being a minister can cause dangerous growth to the ego? And being a minister can also cause equally dangerous damage to the ego. You guys are lucky. You got me after most of the growth and damage had been done. So does our mission statement really show us how to put our Unitarian Universalist principles into action? It does if we say that it does. We can do another. Let me know if you want to. I don't think we have to, but we could. If we feel that we are more looking outward in the same direction and want to do over, that's perfectly reasonable to do. But in any case, what we need to do is to get healthier, more resilient, to look outward together in the same direction more frequently. My tasks have been to help us do this by focusing on organizational development, the renovations and the preservations of our building, and the professionalizing of our financial and resource management. This has not been easy, and it's certainly not finished. But as you will hear at the congregational meeting, and if you stick your head in to the parish hall, you see that we're on our way. We're making some progress. That's why the board and I think that by the end of next year, in June of 2017, my developmental task ought to be mostly completed. Either that, or you might want to consider that either they can't be completed, or I'm not the one to keep leading you to try and complete them. And that's why we need to elect, hopefully this afternoon, a pre-search committee, a group of people, members of the congregation, 3 to 5 people, to do the hard research to determine how your next minister will lead you through whatever you decide the next phase of development might be. These sermons on principles and today's on mission, I hope, have provided us with a provocative look at how we do the work of being a Unitarian Universalist congregation. I thank you for joining in this task and walking together together.